You cannot serve both God and mammon. These words of Jesus are difficult for us, aren't they? We kind of like money and other stuff, don't we? Cool stuff. Sometimes more than we like loving God, and especially allowing Him to love us, because that requires us to change according to His will. Yet in truth, God has given us all of the good earthly things that we have. That's what He's done in the first place. And He wants to give us so much more. He wants to amaze us. That's what He wants for us. But this can only happen if we first receive and then are good and selfless stewards of the worldly gifts that He offers us. If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? Christ asks. Have you ever used the goods entrusted to you at work in an irresponsible or risky manner, different than you do with the goods that you have at home? Most of us that have worked at least one job, I bet, would have to say yes if we're honest with ourselves. More generally, though, do you squander the earthly gifts God has given you, or do you use them responsibly? Do you use them only for yourself, or do you share them generously? Spiritual physics comes into play here, something that Bishop Barron is fond of talking about. And usually the instance he enumerates is the fact that you're only going to benefit by these gifts that the Lord gives you by giving them away. Because by giving them away selflessly, you're opening up your heart to receive more and more. You're growing in humility. You're growing in generosity of heart, just like Him. So you're not going to lose out. But if you hoard Him, then you are going to lose out, paradoxically with what our world tells us. Now, obviously, this dishonest steward in the gospel passage doesn't get any of this. He is totally focused on himself, even to the point where it costs him his livelihood. If you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, Jesus teaches, who will trust you with true wealth? Now, what does he mean by dishonest wealth here? Well, simply the goods of this world, which aren't dishonest in and of themselves, but as we all know, they're often used in dishonest ways as people get greedy and they're lusting for different things. Then they're used in ways that the Lord didn't intend. Sadly, the dishonest steward is not trustworthy with this wealth of the world, and especially with his master's wealth. He's so self-centered. And remember, that's what sin does. It turns us in on ourselves. So we're blinded to goodness and truth. So he's so self-centered that he never actually gets a taste of true wealth. And true wealth, of course, is these are eternal goods. He's so consumed in earthly things and his lust for them that he never even gets a taste of the real good stuff. And now he eventually acts prudently, as we heard, but only when forced to. He doesn't do it out of the goodness of his heart. But his dishonesty has already cost him dearly, maybe even eternally. And we can't help but see a connection here between the master and God the Father. Although the determination of this dishonest steward to prepare for his future is, it's, you know, commendable on some level. He sees the need and he says, okay, I need to provide for myself. So he's good at thinking on his feet. So yes, that is commendable in a sense, but his tactics are despicable. Because he doesn't do this. He doesn't give these debtors a break out of the goodness of his own heart. He only does it so that they'll welcome into his home, into their homes. And then he might rip them off, right? Just like he's ripping his boss off. So his motives are definitely despicable. Make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, Jesus says. In other words, be a good steward of the worldly gifts that he's given you. So that when it fails, and these gifts all are going to fail in due time, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Yes, that's what really matters, is the eternal dwellings. That's what our hearts should yearn for principally. In today's first reading from the prophet Amos, the love of dishonest wealth is brought to a whole new level, way beyond the dishonest steward. Just look at the wickedness on display of these guys. It's kind of shocking. They show no respect whatsoever for human dignity. They're talking about buying and selling the poor for a pair of sandals. Are you kidding me? For a pair of sandals, right? And they're talking about they're cheating and they're fixing the scales and all this kind of stuff. They're looking forward to that. But not only do they show no respect for human dignity, but for God, neither. They could care less about God. They can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so they can get back to their cheating, their ripping people off, their shady business, we could say. All these new moons, these feasts, we don't care about that. We just want to get back to ripping people off. All they really have is a selfish lust for worldly goods, a lust that will never be satisfied. Only eternal goods can do that. And yet these guys could care less about eternal goods. They're fixated on these things of the earth. Now, on the contrary, St. Paul provides a positive vision of the best way to live in today's second reading. Amos gives us a very negative vision, right? This is what you're not supposed to do. Paul gives us a positive vision. It is my wish, he implores, that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. That's a prayer that all of us should make. That's a desire that we all should have, right? Notice the emphasis on holy hands being lifted up, reaching for eternal goods. He's not talking about selfish, wicked hands stained by the lust for worldly goods. We're meant to see that contrast. The liturgy wants us to see that. Lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity, Paul urges. Not a life loud and all kinds of flashy cars and pointing at myself and being a big hero. No, lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In short, the Word wills that everybody walks the path to conversion. That's exactly how we are saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and then we live in that truth. There's only one God and only one mediator between God and men, as Paul points out. And God desires that all people be saved. Every person of all ages. Yes, even dishonest stewards and corrupt leaders who oftentimes prop themselves up as Messiah figures, as the saviors of their people, which we know to be false, but many people believe them. And this same God, this God that wants everybody to be saved, he wants you and me to play a role in making this a reality, in bringing people to the knowledge of ultimate truth, and thereby building up the mystical body of Christ here on earth. So we heard just a little bit earlier that he wills every one of us on a personal level to conversion, and then conversion necessarily leads to evangelization, which is leading all these other people, bringing them in to the fold. Therefore, friends, be very shrewd, prudent, and ardent in preparing for your eternal future. Don't get carried away. Don't fall into that trap of focusing too much on your earthly future. You have to look forward to it. You know, students are thinking, okay, I want to be an accountant. I want to be a doctor. I want to be whatever. That's okay. Don't get carried away, though. Remember that your earthly gifts are not truly yours. They are God's. And he has given them to you, and he's chosen you to be the steward of these gifts that he's given you, which are given in order to guide you and many others through you toward eternal splendor in heaven. It is the eternal gifts that truly matter. Let us put our hearts and our minds primarily on these eternal gifts. Today's opening prayer gives wonderful encouragement for us to consider this very path. O God, who founded all the commandments of your law, of your sacred law, upon love of you and of our neighbor. Not of love of myself, love of God and neighbor. Grant that by keeping your precepts, not doing whatever I want, by keeping your precepts, O Lord, we may merit to attain eternal life. A beautiful prayer indeed. Brothers and sisters, conversion is the only path that will enable you to do this. Actually, more correctly, will enable God to do this in and through you. He does the work. We say yes. You can't pay back the debt of your sins no matter how hard you try. Not going to happen. Thankfully, though, Jesus has already taken care of that. He's already paid your debt. Now, it's time for you to claim this victory and let His grace and glory burst forth, triumph within you and burst forth from you to combat the wickedness in our world and to help you lead many others into His flock.